Okay, we have five people listed. Is 5 minutes adequate? That sound reasonable to everybody? It's more than people usually get during. There's five. Five who signed up. Okay. William is first. Somebody want to keep time? Yeah, and Kimmery will give a 1 minute warning when you have 1 minute left, I guess, right? And then when time's up.
Hello, William Hairwagon from New York. I'll start with the last things first. On the depreciation confusion confirmation, really that stems as a small part or a part of something we've been fighting at the AI for years, trying to get a balance sheet in regards to budget processing. We never get it. What you need to do next year, I'm not saying you try to do it this week, is you need to have the full financial statements, just like the auditor's reports. There's lots of stuff in the balance sheet that you need to see, which would include payables, receivables, but also assets, which would then have their offset accumulated depreciation. And the depreciation expense is just a reduction of assets. So if you had the full picture, the whole balance sheet, you'd be able to see, oh yeah, we really are in pretty good shape because our receivables are more than our payables, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You know, and you'd have a clearer picture of what depreciation is. You wouldn't. And I think that the motion to move it into the capital items is okay because it's not really an operation expense. Just to move it down into that section. Still, it'll show the operations are a little better, but you'll have a little less of a final surplus, whatever you want to call that final line. Then on the reports, it's really sad that we have the CFO and the chair of the National Finance Committee still sending reports in the middle of the night, last night, this is the second full day, and sending reports this morning when there's been motion after motion here to send reports. I think our recent motion said 48 hours before the meeting. Maybe some other number, maybe it's 2-3 days, whatever it is. But that's very sad that they're still getting reports during the meeting. Absurd. And I don't even get to see them. I mean the board members. Then on the Spanish language, let's see if I can understand my notes. Ken Aaron said something about New York being predominantly Puerto Rican. I guess you haven't been there much lately. Dominicans and Mexicans and others are really, Central Americans are really bigger than the Puerto Rican community now. It's nice that you're concerned. But then the real issue in the language, Spanish language programming, is in Formativo Pacifica. I wish Fernando Velasquez was here today. I don't see him. We've been taken off 1 minute out of, I only have 1 minute left? That's amazing. They've been taken off the air in New York. This was, I thought, some kind of national mandate to have, and it's not on in New York anymore. Let's see. Motions for them. Oh, no, I think I won't get a chance to finish this, I don't think, so I won't even start it. I'd just like to note that the agenda still shows no public comment for Monday, and I'm not pleased with the determination that we don't need it for Monday.
Thank you, William. Bob. Okay. Lizette?
Greetings to the board, and good to see some of you, Ken especially, and everybody else, those who I've met before, those who I have not met before, but nonetheless, welcome to Washington, D.C. It's an exciting place to be at this time. I want to remind you that Samori Matzman comes from St. Vincent and the Grenadines, and I happen to be from that place as well. His birthday is on the day that we became independent, some 31 years ago. And I'd like to talk to somebody from New York who would have worked with him intimately to talk to him about, talk to us. I do a radio program that's aired in St. Vincent and Grenadines, and it's actually streamed online, and I'm sure whoever has that information, you'll do us some good round about the time we become independent. It also reminds me of Samori's life. I didn't know him, but I've read about him. I have made contact with one of his sisters, and it seemed as if Samori, I think it is, he would have spent his life committed to matters of justice, and I think he made his mark in Pacifica. And from what I understand, he died almost a pauper. And that's what a lot of us do. I'm of the view that from PFW we have some concerns about attendance from our part, and I think it's sad. I don't want to sound like the guy from Iran who nobody wants to listen to.
Ahmadinejad, I sometimes feel like him. But I remember, and without bleating too much, I remember when I was on the board, I attended every meeting, even when I was in the Caribbean. I spent $100, US dollars once, to attend a meeting here. And it's sad that some of us who would spend little cannot attend those meetings, because it's sad because we have something that we don't quite know the value of. I wish we had something like this in the Caribbean, but we don't. And I want to urge each and every one of you here that Pacifica is not just about the United States. It's about the world over. And I'm able to do a radio program and follow the sentiment of Pacifica on that program, and it's followed even by those people who don't want to listen. And it brings me to the point where I would urge, I don't know how we're going to do it, but we need to revisit those bylaws. They're causing confusion, they're costing us too much, and they often lead in the courthouse. Not very long ago, a week or so ago, I sat where some people tried to keep me off the local station board, and I have to announce it, I'm back on the local station board. But I sat there as if I were at just waiting to be hung, simply because some people describe it as passionate. But I would say I like to blow the cover off secrecy. Anything, because that's not what Pacifica is about. And everything was done possible. Everything was done to keep me off that board. But I think this time I'll be more, how shall I put it, less passionate. But it's not going to stop me asking the questions, especially when it comes to our money. I'll be looking at every single one of you and everybody who is involved about how you allocate our monies and how you give an account for it. In PFW, our listeners don't quite know where our money goes. I do not remember hearing a discussion with the listeners about our money. But we go on the air and beg them, and they're fed up, and I don't mind telling them to ask questions about that money. We need transparency with our finances, and I'm not joking. Thank you.
Thank you, Lizette. I'm trying to take these in the order in which you signed up, I think, except for the people that wanted to wait. Billy Ray?
Just want to say and welcome to Washington, D.C., everybody.
Thank you.
I find, you know, as Obama used to say on this radio program, the more things change, the more they remain the same since the days that I sit on this board. And, you know, I still see that the major problems are still the same, financing and programming. And the biggest threat, you know, to me is that the people on a local level do not have a voice in Pacifica anymore, you know, in terms of on-air productions of issues on a local level. You know, I want to apologize to everybody. Maybe I didn't express myself, you know, my concern, you know, the little time that I spent on this board. But it's still the same. It's about programming. It's programming. When the question is, when are you going to give the people a voice in Pacifica again? The people haven't had a voice since 1990 when I was kicked off the air in Pacifica. Especially here in Washington, D.C., you know, the seat of the powers that be. I am involved, along with about 4,000 other drivers in this city, in terms of taxi cabs. And we have a major problem in not being able to have an ongoing program to address a very critical issue that is detrimental to the livelihood of at least 8,000 people. And that's if, you know, if a guy's married, you know, or a woman is married that's driving a cab in D.C. So we have at least 8,000 drivers, so it's 16. I have followed the rules. I've submitted proposals to WPFW, asking them to have an ongoing program to give a voice to the voiceless, which is the community of cab drivers from all nations in the world here in this city. Now, I'm an American driver. You probably, if you catch a cab in this city, you won't find another one. And but right now, we all in the same boat. We are starving to death, and we are not getting any type of airplay in terms of the issues that revolves around the D.C. taxi cab industry, which is a very slavistic system. You know, I try to keep people abreast in the emails that I send, you know, in terms of the things that's happening on a local level. And I still regret the day that when you hold a license, a third class or a first class, a second class radio telephone license, I know some of you know what I'm talking about. You had the power to relieve Pacifica of a threat of having their license pulled. You know, because as a FCC license holder at one time, you were responsible as an individual for the content in the programming and responsibility to the government and the FCC before it got to the foundation itself. Now the foundation is threatened, you know, whether it's in programming or finances. And that's a shame. But this is, you know, I hate to see any more loss to Pacifica in terms of local programming anyway. Listen, I want to thank you all, and thank you, and safe trip home.
Thank you, Billy Ray. Next is Benito.
I would prefer to wait if there are any other
okay.
people.
Okay, Revlin.
Okay. Afternoon. Greetings, everyone. I do want to say it's been a pleasure to work with you and serve you in the way that we have so far, and hope that the rest of this meeting will continue to be the joy and delight that it has been so far. And I just wanted to speak a little bit to the resolution where people were talking about the Spanish language programs. It was a thought that I had because, you know, we already do have a program that WPFW where a Haitian programmer speaks the patois from Haiti a lot. And those that are in the community that understand that language do call in, and he gives them the news of the day, and at some point he goes between English and the patois. But for those people who don't understand it, you know, they just turn the dial or do whatever they do. And because we're losing listeners, I thought that a really good program would be one that taught people Spanish. Because rather than having the listeners just either choose to listen or not listen for a whole hour of prime time radio, what might be more beneficial to bring community together rather than separate it would be to have a very entertaining, engaging Spanish, ongoing kind of Spanish thing that integrated, took the listener into account and brought the listener from the English side along into the Spanish side. So that was just one thing. I come from, I mean, a family that is Puerto Rican and African American, and, you know, they try to do the blend. And I think the blend unites rather than just having, continuing to have two separate things. I just wanted you to consider that, and thank you.
Thank you, Revelyn. Next is, well, we have some people asked to wait. We have Bob, we have Listener A, and Benito. So all of you asked to wait. So which one of you want to go?
Which one was first?
Bob.
Someone approaching.
Okay, Bob, go ahead.
Good afternoon. My name is Bob Lederer. I'm a staff representative on the LSB at WBAI, and I want to talk about two things today. First is the process of programming changes at WBAI, and the second is Spanish language programming. Last November, our interim program director suddenly, without any consultation, any discussion, or any real warning, enacted a drastic shakeup in the entire program schedule. Programs were moved to completely different times from what they had before. Programs were chopped in the amount of time they had. Programs were canceled, and entirely new strip programs were brought in 5 days a week. And aside from the fact that this is really a disrespectful and ineffective way to make programming changes that are well received by the staff and by the listeners, it's also a violation of Pacifica procedures. Our bylaws were written to include, if you look at the section on LSB duties and responsibilities, includes working with management to ensure that procedures for programming decisions are made in a fair, respectful, and collaborative manner. None of those three adjectives applies to what happened last November, and it wasn't the first time. There had been smaller decisions along the way over the two-plus years of this interim program director's tenure that have similarly violated the bylaws. And the other violation here, which is in many ways troubling on a lot of levels, is that there's a labor contract, a union contract that's been in force since 2002 between Pacifica and WBAI in particular, and the Unpaid Staff Organizing Committee, which is the recognized collective bargaining agent for the entire unpaid staff at the station. And since this new management, well, it's now no longer new, since this management that came in 2009 began their tenure, they have utterly ignored this contract and have essentially destroyed the ability of this union to have any say in anything that goes on at the station. There have been numerous grievances filed about programmers who were arbitrarily not only removed from their shows but actually banned from physically appearing at the station or having their voices on the air, and not a single email, letter, or personal request has been responded to by management in more than 2 years to address those grievances. And there are others that we could cite. But so this process that was violated on program changes was actually memorialized in the union contract, that there shall be a program council, that unpaid staff have elected representatives on that council, and that council must review significant program changes. None of that was done. The council hasn't met in more than 2 years, hasn't been asked to meet by the interim program director. So, and as a result, 54 producers signed a petition to management and to the LSB saying this is illegitimate and cannot stand and needs to be reversed, and we need to have a respectful and collaborative process to make these changes. So that's on the topic of program changes. Now, specifically about Spanish language programming, let me start by what some of the changes meant for that category in New York. The program that you were discussing and passed a motion on this morning that does exist from KPFK, Informativo Pacifica, had been 4 days a week on the air at WBAI. It was removed. Again, no process, no discussion. A very well-produced, hard-hitting, collectively generated program in Spanish, local public affairs issues for the Latino community, was moved from Saturday at 4 p.m. to Saturday at 6 a.m. over the strong objections of the producers, but they weren't consulted. They didn't have a chance to make their objections until after the fact, and then it fell on deaf ears. So, and plus one of the most respected and popular Puerto Rican poets in New York had a weekly show that was arbitrarily canceled. His show was never evaluated. There was no process, but it was it's not coincidental that he had run for the LSB in the last election and had strongly criticized some of these types of behaviors by management in his campaign, and then a few months later he finds his show canceled. So that's what's going on there that's affecting seriously the Latino community in New York City. And just finally, real quick, I want to say that motion that you all reaffirmed this morning, I'll just wrap up with this, was something that I actually, when I sat on the PNB in 2005, introduced at the request of Latino producers and listeners at KPFK, and I'm very glad to see it's finally going to be back on track after 6 years of really refusing to implement it fully in the way that it was intended by that community. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Bob. Benito?
Good evening, or good afternoon, everybody. My name is Benito Diaz, and I'm on the LSB here at PFW. You can see by my T-shirt. And I'm, I'm just going to comment. I have two things I wanted to talk about, but I'm also going to comment on several other statements. First of all, with regard to Billy Ray, your proposal for a taxi cab show. We haven't had a permanent PD for a while, so maybe when we get a PD, we might be able to do something about that proposal and other proposals. Secondly, with regard to this motion about Spanish language programming, and I must admit, I'm not really familiar with the motion, but based on what I've heard, I know that there's been discussion here at PFW with regard to that as well, and I would simply say this. I can't speak to the situation in other cities, other markets, as we call them. I just know about D.C. And by the way, I'm Puerto Rican, I speak Spanish. More or less, or Boricua, better stated. But I will say this. The majority of the Spanish-speaking population here in D.C. has their own stations. They don't listen to PFW. They don't listen to any other English-speaking stations. I don't see why we would think they're going to listen. I'm saying the majority. Why are they going to listen to some show in Spanish on PFW if they're not listening to any of the commercial stations in English? Because the bottom line is they don't deal in English. And I'm not trying to cast aspersions on other folks that speak Spanish, because obviously, like I said, I'm from PR. But the bottom line is, what is useful? What will work? And so in that sense, I would like to add, or let's say associate myself with Revelin's comments, I think that maybe we ought to take our example from our Haitian show, and do something that is in English and Spanish, and that way you can bring about, as Revelin said, some kind of unity between folks, and so that the folks that would be interested in listening to the show can learn something about Spanish, and the English speaking folks can learn something. Yeah, vice versa. Y'all know what I'm saying. And now I'm going to say what I came here to say on other issues. Number one, I would like to know, why is it that we end at the end of September, and that at least as far as I know, the Pacifica Programming Committee has yet to meet all year long? I am the chair of the Programming Committee here at PFW. And I was on the Programming Committee last year. And I have not heard word one from anyone as to what's up with the Programming Committee this year, or why it is that I wasn't told about any kind of meetings. Maybe y'all don't want LSB representatives. I don't know. All I know is I ain't heard word one. And I know that Kimmery put the sign up, so I got shut up in a second. I'm just going to say one last comment. And that is about Al Jazeera. And I would seriously suggest that the PNB in general, and specifically its programming committee, if it exists, and the staff need to rethink how we deal with and program Al Jazeera. You know, I like many people, thought that that was a good idea when it started. I'm not so sure anymore. If you listen to Al Jazeera, in particular, its programming around Libya, especially, and Syria, the only thing I get out of that is that they are an apologist for imperialism. And I don't think that Pacifica should want to associate itself with imperialism. So I could go on, but like I said, Kimmery put up the sign, so I'll be cool.
Thank you. Was there another speaker? Is there anyone else from the public that would like to speak? There was somebody listed as listener A, but not identified by name. So, thank you, Serene.
I reserve the right to be anonymous. That's why I'm there as listener A. Read the bylaws. You don't have to identify yourself to speak at a Pacifica meeting.
Okay.
Who's keeping time? Just add 30 seconds because she stressed me out.
Sorry, you're so well known, I did not realize that you were.
And well loved. Maybe I'll come to that last because, you guys have a CFO problem you don't want to deal with, so let me try to get to some of the other things. It seems that, like the U.S. politicians, the focus at Pacifica is on the, quote, middle class. No other class other than the millionaires seem to exist. So we have the millionaires who are pushing their policy projects through, harassing different general managers under the guise of helping. And we have the poor people, some of whom might be entitled to waivers for membership in Pacifica, except we can't find a local station board that actually wants to deal with it. So I'm going to ask the national board again to get on it because there are elections next year. There are benefits other than elections, being able to vote in elections, but certainly you need to make sure that's done by next year. There seems to be a mental block when it comes to dealing with the issues. The country, they tell us, is in a second wave of depression, which for many people means a third or fourth wave, but you can't find a Pacifica policy on waivers that really works. That's problematic. There's a level of hypocrisy, not to mention, I think someone used the word prevarication. Oh, where's Carrie? She's not here. There are some people whose ability, I sat here and I heard statements made yesterday about this had happened and that had happened, and as one director pointed out, there's not one scintilla of proof that has been offered to support that. But then I heard another director, or between those two sets of comments, I heard another director then speak about her knowledge of things that had happened. So one person's allegation becomes another person's knowledge, which then becomes a basis for making policy. And that's really scary. We need better than that. On the level of hypocrisy, I heard a report in New York from members, from two directors. One listener called in. He's a very popular guy. He calls in all the time. He calls himself, he calls New York the Big Mango, not the Big Apple. And, you know, being a Caribbean person, I'm into mangoes, so I get that. And the two directors from New York, Alex and Kathy, were on the air. And the guy called in and he said, you know, I love the station. It's great. We've got to go another 51 years. But what happened to Bernard White? And both of these people who have sponsored motions that are intended to target Bernard White and remove him from the local station board because he was the highest vote getter in the last election said, oh, I wish him the best in his health. I have no idea. You know, he's on the local board. You know, as though their motions aimed at him did not exist. So that's a filthy level of hypocrisy, but, you know, I guess folks can live with it. And on the subject of Bernard, who people are not allowed to discuss on air or name on air or have on air, his voice, as well as Samori's voice, as well as Alambe's voice, are all part of a cart that they're running on air, okay, and they've actually targeted producers for playing Bernard's voice on air, not discussing personnel issues, but discussing other things within Pacifica. They've targeted producers for doing that, but they are playing his voice on air, trying to get money out of people under a project to save the recordings that some foolish person moved from where they were and stacked them in a really bad spot to try to preserve tape. But, hey, professionals at work. Our primetime drive time afternoon host is on vacation, went on vacation or some sort of break last week. And I thought it would have been a wonderful opportunity. It was the day of what we know now was Troy's murder. That was the first day that was available. And they didn't focus on a history of the death penalty or the racially disparate way in which it is used. It was the eve of the General Assembly debate. The UN is in New York. Let's take advantage of that. They didn't focus on the fact that we're looking at new governments in Egypt and Libya, and, you know, we're looking at Haiti, and we're looking at what the U.S. did to get, you know, Sweet Mickey his job. And now Sweet Mickey is going to give them the guy who's been working under Clinton's thumb for the past 5 years. And, you know, so we didn't do that with the time. We didn't talk about what Haiti and the UN and ministers abuses the record of that and what's being done. We were revisiting Durban at the UN. They didn't cover that. Now, it has nothing to do with the person who actually did use the time, but it seems to me that a two-hour block of time might have been used a little better. Instead, it was used to promote a comedy event for a very good cause the following evening. You need 2 hours to promote an event, and none of these issues gets touched. In time that's, you don't have to preempt anyone for it, it was a gift. So that's a problem. I think that happens when you have unqualified people in positions, which brings me back to where I was going to begin about the CFO. So I'll start in what little time I have. You have a set of reports that was delivered during the meeting yesterday to people on a thumb drive. You have other reports that were sent after 1 o'clock in the morning. You have things that were discussed and shown up there for people to see, but not actually sent to them. This woman has been in place since January 2009. We've had late budgets, problematic budgets, nonsensical explanations. Hello, do something with people's money. I know people who hurt when they have to send in their $10. They can't even fit, you know, manage the membership of $25. And you guys have someone managing the money who has no clue what she's doing. And it's not personal. It is a lack of professionalism that I'm discussing.
Thank you. Are there any other members of the public who would like to avail themselves of public comment time? Okay. Again, no one else from the public? All right. Thank you, everyone. And again, I'd like to extend my thanks to the to WPFW, to the management, the local station board, and all of the people who so graciously are hosting us, and all the members of the public from this signal area who have come here to...
And don't forget to give out that number again. That's 202-588-0893.
That's all you
have. 1-800-222-9739. That's the 1-800 number. And that is correct, right, John? Sometimes if you don't see it in the control room, you forget the number.
WPFW.org.
So WPFW.org.
For the listening public, throughout this board meeting, we will occasionally be breaking to raise funds for our local station. Since we have a few minutes left before we, it's public comment. What do you want to say, Rodrigo?
See, can I have the mic?
It's okay. We hear you.
Yeah, thanks. Si nadie no escucha WPFW, es porque no tiene programación en español. Si a mí me gusta el español y yo escucho en español, no puedo sintonizar una radio que no habla mi idioma con la cual no me identifico, ¿no? If I don't listen to WPFW, it's because it doesn't talk in my language. So there's no way to get familiar with a radio station that do not speak the language that I speak. My first language is Spanish, so you can see. We have, you know, about 14 hours in KPFK. In November 12th, we're going to do the first town hall meeting totally in Spanish with translation to English. And it's going to be successful, as we have done many events that have been successfully done, you know, with our communities.
Thank
Here,
you.
Here, there is 9.1% of Latino populations. If we would go by the bylaws, then WPFW should have 9.1% of its, you know, programming dedicated to that community.
Rodrigo, thank you. So thank you, everyone from the public, for speaking, and thank you to the local community of WPFW again.